The news for April is part of the Jodcast. For the full show, please visit www.jodcast.net.
In the news this month, Liverpool telescope throws light on gamma ray bursts, astronomers use computers to blow up a white dwarf, latest results from Mercari, and strange cloud formations seen on Saturn. Astronomers using the robotic Liverpool telescope have measured the polarization of the optical light from a gamma ray burst just 203 seconds after the start of the explosion. The group, led by Dr. Carol Mundell at Liverpool John Moores University, used a new instrument known as Ringo on the 2-meter telescope located on La Palma to examine the light from an event known as GRB-060418. This distant but highly energetic explosion was initially spotted by a gamma ray detector on board the SWIFT satellite, triggering several telescopes to quickly move to the same part of the sky to catch the fading light known as the afterglow. Robotic telescopes such as the Liverpool telescope are ideal for observations like this, where a message from a satellite can trigger telescopes on the ground to make observations straight away without having to wait for a human to adjust the telescope schedule. These GRB events are thought to be the result of catastrophic explosions of massive stars, when new black holes or neutron stars are formed. The nature of the material thrown out in these explosions is still something of a mystery, as is the importance of magnetic fields in these outflows. One way that magnetic fields can be probed is by looking for polarization in the light from the event using instruments such as Ringo. This new measurement of the polarization of the light from an afterglow was made almost 100 times faster than previous measurements and shows a very low level of polarization. These results rule out strong magnetic fields in the material flowing out in the early stages of the explosion, and will help narrow down the wide range of models which attempt to explain the process that occurs in GRB explosions. After many years of failed attempts, scientists at the University of Chicago have managed to blow up a star, but not a real one. Using supercomputers, the group have managed to simulate the detonation of a white dwarf star, which is thought to be the cause of certain kinds of supernovae. The simulations, which used more than 58,000 hours of computer time, show that the process resembles what happens inside a diesel engine, although in a star the process is supersonic and far more violent. Up to now, the usual way to trigger the explosion of a white dwarf in a simulation was to insert an explosion by hand into the computer code. This is the first time that scientists have made a star explode realistically. In the detonation, a flame bubble about 10 miles in diameter forms at the center of the star. This bubble travels 1,200 miles to the star's surface in about 1 second, where it speeds around the surface of the star and crashes into itself. This collision causes a compression region where the catastrophic detonation occurs. Accurately modeling this sort of supernova can help with other areas of astrophysics. Measurements of the brightness of supernova explosions has led to the conclusion that the expansion of the universe is speeding up, so understanding these events in more detail will help our understanding of dark energy and the universe on large scales. The Japanese satellite Akari has released several new results during March. Launched in February 2006, the infrared observatory has been working continuously, carrying out observations of many interesting objects. Results from recent observations were presented at a meeting of the National Astronomical Society of Japan at the end of March. Among the new results are detailed observations of regions of star formation within the Milky Way, the detection of supernova remnant in the Small Magellanic Cloud, never been seen before in the infrared part of the spectrum, previously unseen detail in the thick gas clouds around the supermassive black hole at the centre of an ultra-luminous galaxy, and studies of star-forming galaxies in the distant universe, which help trace the history of galaxy formation. The satellite is carrying out an infrared survey of the entire sky, and has covered about 80% of the sky so far. The latest images from Cassini have shown a strange feature first spotted over Saturn's North Pole by the Voyager 1 and 2 spacecraft more than 25 years ago. Cassini's latest images show a hexagonal cloud feature nearly 25,000 kilometres in diameter, circling the entire pole of the planet. It is so large that almost four Earths could fit inside it. The formation is similar to the Earth's own polar vortex, formed by circular patterns of winds blowing around the pole, although the Earth's is somewhat smaller and circular in shape. The new data from Cassini's infrared cameras shows that the hexagonal feature extends far down into Saturn's atmosphere, reaching a depth of over 100 kilometres. This is in contrast to the south pole of the planet, where images show a hurricane with a giant eye instead of a polar vortex. This feature is clearly long-lived as it has been seen in observations taken more than 25 years apart, but it is still not clear why it should be so stable. More observations are being taken of this feature, and optical images will be made in a couple of years when the north pole of the planet emerges into sunlight after its 15-year-long winter night. And finally, new observations made by the Spitzer Space Telescope suggest that binary star systems might be just as likely to form planets as single stars like our own Sun. Using the multiband imaging photometer on the infrared telescope, a team of astronomers led by Dave Trilling of the University of Arizona have observed almost 70 binary stars looking for excess infrared emission characteristic of protoplanetary dust disks. These disks are made up of dust grains, which, over time, collide and accumulate into small bodies known as planetesimals, which continue to grow and eventually become planets. The light from the star, or stars, around which the planetesimals orbit, is absorbed by the dust grains and re-emitted in the infrared part of the electromagnetic spectrum, where Spitzer's cameras are sensitive. By looking for star systems with unusually high infrared fluxes, the astronomers have found that planets are just as likely to form around binaries as they are around single stars.